In the first reading from Tobit, we read, "On the night of Pentecost, after I had buried the dead, I, Tobit, went into my courtyard to sleep next to the courtyard wall. My face was uncovered because of the heat. I did not know there were birds perched on the wall above me till their warm droppings settled in my eyes, causing cataracts." Hello again. Birds indeed can be hazardous to some. Having a series of bird feeders I enjoy each evening, but I do have to be careful. The book of Tobit is an interesting one. It's not in the Protestant Bible, as it is derived from Oriental folklore, because Tobit and other apocryphal and pseudo-apocryphal books were not considered scripture in Judaism. But the Catholic Church does include the book of Tobit. Let me explain more about what really is a very human story, a series of stories in the book of Tobit, which we are going through this during this ordinary time. The book was written mostly in Aramaic. The original of the book was lost for centuries. Fragments of the four Aramaic texts and one Hebrew text were discovered in the Qumran cave in 1952 and have only recently been published. The actual book was written about 200 BC, but it depicts a time of 720 BC. It does indeed involve a cast of characters, Tobit and Anna, Tobiah and Sarah. The key or linchpin that serves to purify or ennoble and save the two families experiencing at times very serious problems is the intervention of a person whose name is Raphael, the angel. In fact, Raphael is an angelic person whose name can be interpreted as God heals or medicine or God. You might even title Raphael as the angelic physician. Now, two monumental problems exist. The intervention of Raphael. All families have problems. This is part of the common lot of humanity. However, there are different ways to react towards problems. We can react by giving into despair, or we can entrust our problems to God, rely on God's overlying strength. Here's the two problems. First problem, Tobit's affliction with blindness. A very good man, Tobit left his meal to attend to those who were afflicted and dying. After affording the dead proper burial and exhausted, Tobit falls asleep with his eyes open. And, sure enough, birds let their droppings fall into his eyes. Despite the goodwill and efforts of doctors, the poor Tobit's eyes go from bad to worse, and he ends up totally blind. The loss of his sight causes Tobit unspeakable pain and anguish, and he even ends up having a heated quarrel with his wife, adding greater suffering to his affliction. That comes in today's reading. Second problem, there's a woman named Sarah who's at a bit distance, and she has her own afflictions in another family. The young Sarah undergoes untold sorrow and anguish. Believing that her vocational call is that of marriage, six of her prospective husbands are struck down the very moment when they're about to consummate the marriage. All are killed by the devil Asmodeus, led almost to the brink of despair. Sarah decides it is better for her to simply terminate her life. However, the thought of the grief and humiliation that her suicide would bring upon her parents detains her from such an act. In these critical moments, their prayers are sent on high to their mighty and merciful God, and he sends relief to these two families in an extraordinary manner. God sends from heaven the archangel Raphael to heal the wounds and reconcile the families, establishing peace and harmony among the human family. Folks, marriages and family, whatever era, are indeed challenging. Allow me to cite seven principles from John Gottman's 40 years more of research working with couples, successful marriages as well as divorces. These seven principles are, one, sharing love maps. A love map is the desired and deep comprehension of your partner. Means knowing what makes him or her tick, what makes them happy, what happened in the past, and what they want for their future, and what they like. It goes beyond knowing their love language and shows that you love all parts of them, just as they are. Developing love maps for each other is a crucial part of a healthy and mutually fulfilling relationship. Two, nurturing fondness and admiration. When you innately respect each other as people, great things naturally follow. Building your partner up, showing your appreciation for each other, giving enthusiastic compliments, and so on. It's easier to enjoy each other's company on date nights, starting new hobbies, and so much more. 3, turning toward each other instead of away. Choosing to purposely and consistently be present in your partner's life lets him or her know that they can rely on you, enhancing intimacy and trust. This foundation makes it much easier to weather adversity and come out the other side stronger than before. 4, letting your partner influence you. A marriage should be viewed as an equal partnership, and that partnership term is important. Both sides should have the ability to inform and influence the other, coming to compromises and effectively communicating about big decisions and emotions. Allowing someone to have an impact on you is not control. It's another form of respect, showing that you value their input and are considering their feelings and opinions. This doesn't mean you always need to agree on everything. There will always be disagreements now and again. But being able to have calm, productive discussions about such topics will vastly affect how heard you feel, and vice versa. 5, solving your solvable problems. In every long-term relationship, according to Gottman, there are two types of problems. Perpetual, which are complex and can cause communication gridlock, and solvable. Solvable problems are surface level, straightforward issues that can be remedied with a little bit of effort from both sides. By choosing to solve these, you can remove many of the roadblocks that seem much bigger than they are and pave the way to less stress and conflict overall. 6, overcoming gridlock. Many couples fall into gridlock, where neither side can come to a productive resolution about an ongoing problem, usually due to an unfulfilled dream or desire. The key to this kind of stalemate isn't necessarily to solve the problem itself, which may not be possible in reality, but to get in the habit of having healthy, genuine conversations and proceeding past it. Gottman explained 4 steps to reaching this point. 1, understanding the roots of the issues. 2, communicating calmly about it. 3, expressing your areas of flexibility and non-negotiability. And 4, ending calmly with a note of gratitude and appreciation for each other. And then the 6th, and finally the 7th, creating shared meanings together. A committed long-term relationship is a union of 2 people, which means your goals, rituals, beliefs, perspectives should fuse together as well. This is meaning-making would extend to religion, for example, shared belief in God, sharing prayer, etc. This sharing meaning together extends from small gestures like planning your mate's favorite meal after a hard day to large lifelong journeys such as encouraging each other to follow passions and dreams. Sharing these meaningful experiences constantly and consistently builds intimacy and affection for one another. And so, folks, Gottman's 7 principles may be helpful in understanding marriages today. A link to Gottman's site is available next to today's homily link. Finally, I find it very interesting that in preparing couples for weddings, the readings from Tobit are 2 particular readings are often suggested in the wedding manual. It gives you a sense that the church does look at this powerful story of Tobit and the characters involved with all their faults, yet their desire to come together and pray together and believe in a God together does indeed help their marriage and can help others from long ago to believe that God indeed is with them in their love for one another.